Hello, dear community, and welcome in our series Unternehmen wird Zukunft. We have a super exciting topic today and super exciting guests. We're going to be talking about AI in financial systems and processes. We're going to be touching upon current market status, learning from the Nordics, leveraging synergies, looking to the future, and obviously relevance for the businesses that we are serving all together. And we have two fantastic speakers with us, Maurizio Poleto, Chief Platform Officer from Erste Group. Maurizio, welcome.
Nice to be here.
And Jussi Pekala, Director of Group Branding and Marketing at Visma and also Chair of ProSaldo. Jussi, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Guys, we have a super exciting topic, important topic for our businesses that we want to really discuss and give them some insights and advice how to go with it. Super relevant. But before we start, maybe let's just touch upon your functions. Maurizio, Chief Platform Officer is a description of a job that I don't hear so often. What do you do? How did you define it?
The definition of my job started that when I was nominated to the holding board to the board of the group, we were thinking about what would be the key relevant IT and digital topic for the group. And I think platform, so the idea of banking as a digital platform where our colleagues in the country can connect and leverage and do their best job to serve our customer. This is something that we believe is going to develop further in the next year. Therefore, Chief Platform Officer was a good decision, I believe. It's a bit technical, but I think that's pretty much where the banking industry is currently going. It's a combination of platforms, and I'm responsible for all customer-facing interface across the group. And my team is building those interfaces and those APIs that allow our colleagues in every country where we operate, as the group operates across 7 countries in Central Eastern Europe. It allows all our colleagues in the country to deliver services to their customers.
So it's basically also all about serving the customers.
And it's all about serving the customer, absolutely.
Fantastic. Jussi, I wrote down, Visma delivers software that simplifies the work lives of entrepreneurs, businesses, and societies. Quite simple and quite impactful. What do you guys do?
Yes, I think the main thing is to provide software for the mission critical process. How to do the accounting, how to send invoices, how to pay invoices, how to pay salaries. So everything that businesses and public segment, they need to do that. Whatever the market condition is. And we work in Europe and LATAM in 20 countries approximately. And that is what we do.
How big is the company approximately in terms of revenue, if you're allowed to talk about it?
We have 1.5 million customers.
Amazing.
So 2.5 billion euros in revenues. What maybe is a little bit different from the other companies like Visma is that we have actually 200 companies under the Visma Group. So we operate quite locally with the entrepreneurs that have been founding the software that the local market need.
Yeah, fantastic. We're going to be talking also about your collaboration, how do you go about it. But before we deep dive into different topics, let's just have a look at the market in general. What's the current status on the market? Firstly, maybe in terms of regulation, and then obviously we'll compare the Nordics to Austria as well and what we can learn from each other. Who would like to start? Maurizio, maybe.
Let's start with the Nordics, which are obviously ahead of most of the rest of Europe. So let's look at the Nordic side.
Yeah, of course, it's a little bit hard for me to talk about Austrian regulation, but if I start to compare it, is that, let's talk about how fast it is to start a business. So in the Nordics, it takes maybe 3 to 4 days to start a business. In Austria, it takes 21 days to start a business. So that's something that maybe is something that could be simplified for the small entrepreneurs. And actually, the cost was maybe fourfold in total to start a business. And of course, if I think that how things worked in the Nordics maybe 10 to 15 years ago, it reminds a bit how things work in Austria maybe currently. So how the small businesses are creating the invoices and then there might be entries by hand then to the accounting systems and the payments, which comes to a little bit the banking side as well, that how those are done. It's not maybe so modern as in the Nordics.
And what is your impression, or maybe your guess? Is it due to regulation, regulatory constraints, or is it due to general acceptance of technology, of data, of digitalization?
I think it's both. Of course, like the governments, they have a lot of impact on the how small business or enterprise can work and what is like enforced in the market. Then it's about the technology. Of course, I think one of the good metrics for that is that how much, like let's say, invoicing are used in the markets. So because it empowers so much automation, and then you have the full the positive things about using modern SaaS software. You have the data there, then you are able to automate even more. So. And maybe also the mentality of the entrepreneurs. Also the tax advisors or the accounting office play a huge role. So it's many different things that impact on the market conditions, how people work.
Maurizio, Erste Group is serving a lot of business customers. What do you see there? What is the adaptability of digitalization, and what are the reasons for that?
Well, we see our customer base moving towards digitalization. Of course, large companies are doing this at a faster speed. The medium and small company there are the early adapter who believes in this. They have familiarity with the tool, but we have a large amount of customer base that still operate the way they've been operated the last decades. Now, looking at the, and maybe your question goes in the direction is, what is the driver? Looking at the Nordics, and I have been looking at the Nordics in the last years exactly because they are so advanced, and I try to figure out what are the reason why they are so advanced, and it's a combination of factor. Having, for instance, an authorized public digital identity available that everyone can have access to. We are getting there in Europe, with eIDAS in general, and we are getting country by country, very mature. But now, I mean, in the Nordic, they have done this years ago, many years ago, right? And this, for instance, helped, where every company has a digital identity. They can already do they can already manage their relationship with the authorities and the fiscal authorities and the financial authorities, all digitalized. Not only is efficient, but it puts those companies in the mindset that they can trust the system. That's something we are missing in the lower part of Europe, where there is still a lot of skepticism if I should digitally share information of my business with the authorities, right? That's a bit come from this direction. Now, I'm a big believer of efficiency, and I'm a big believer of efficiency that even is more beneficiary than. No, I use the word privacy not in the sense that I'm looking for a breach of privacy, but more like efficiency is more important than being afraid that if you share those information with the authority, they will do something against me or something, right? I think naturally the economy and the business will go in that direction. We're just running at a smaller speed. So digital identity is one of the drivers. Trust on public institution is the other driver in the Nordics. I don't think that the digitalization means the number of customers use digital devices are much lower. I mean, everyone is using a smartphone, and any company is using smartphone and computer here in this part of Europe as much as they do in the Nordics. Mm. The willingness of changing and improving their business in an efficient way is obviously much higher there. But it's slowly coming to our region as well.
Is that also driven by the regulation, you think?
Well, of course. I mean, pushing for digital payment is very important. This is a decision in the Nordic they have made. Pushing for a cashless society is very important. That's a decision they have made. I remember a colleague from a bank in Sweden who told me, maybe this was 5 years ago, who told me, We were talking about cashless branches or branches where you don't have access to cash. You can only go to the machine to get cash. And I said, how did you manage that? They said, well, all the bank came together and within a weekend, we decided to take away cash from all our branches. In a weekend, that happened. And I said, did people complain? They said, yes, they complained for the first month or something because it's a pain. But then they got used to it. Now no one complains anymore. Now if you go to the Nordics, you find probably stickers on restaurants. I was in Malmo a couple of years ago. I went to a restaurant where the sign was, we don't accept cash. Mm. We only take cards, right? That's a dream I would like to see everywhere in Europe, right?
What did it take to execute this dream? Was it a lot of convincing, or did also the government contribute to that, or did also the economy make these decisions?
I think it comes with these small changes that you make a small change with regarding the cash or regarding the e-invoicing or regarding like the authentication of the people or the businesses. So I think excellent points from Mauri about that, and then it has, I think, built like this like mentality of that when you see paper, you kind of a little bit hate that. And like, let's have a other example of agreeing that how many would like to like print the paper, sign it, scan it, send it, like do it with the envelope, and it's the same thing with the, like, if you are like able a lot better to know who is the one that is sending the and signing that, it's a lot more easier, and then you can get the, like contracts immediately. So that you are able to find that later. So that is also that something that happened maybe now past 5 years. So the digital signatures and agreeing is now taking the place in the Nordics. But it's about this like hating the printing, hating the envelopes, hating the like sending invoices, manual entries. Like, it's just hating the work.
Look, in general, the difference is that if I could really generalize it and oversimplify it, but maybe it gives you what it means. What they have done, they have put together industry and government. They decide that this makes sense. They push it and they go through. That's it. Very simple. And not many discussion. Here we tend to over-discuss everything, right? Because any of these innovation requires change. And normally people don't like change. We know this, right? However, if you are valuing all the different things, but you never move forward. Someone needs to take a stand. I have to say in the last couple of years, I saw a big movement in Europe, mainly driven by European Community requirement, let me put it that way. So I think things moving forward. I hope this will accelerate even further.
Okay. What is the relevance for businesses when tackling the digitalization? Or maybe let's start with a different question for the beginning. What is the, for example, invoicing process of a smaller company in the Nordics? How does it work end to end? And then we'll compare this to Austria status quo.
Yeah, so in the Nordics, the businesses are sending the invoice from the like a platform that they are using, SaaS accounting software or something like that, if we talk about the small business. So they are sending that from the system. It goes by e-invoice. It goes to like a similar type of system. So it like immediately, it's like 95% automatically already like the accounts are right for the bookkeeping, mm-hmm. and they are paying that from the same system. Or in some cases, they can prejudge that, okay, if this comes from the same like a partner that they send the invoices and it's not exceeding the amount, it's automatically paid.
Okay.
And then of course, like when it's like booked in real time, then the business knows exactly how much money they have or how the like their result will be looked after the month.
So you also get like your reports and financial data much faster.
Yeah, in real time. Yeah. And of course you can like dig in that, okay, what is causing this? What was the receipt or invoice that was in the background? And then the accounting office is working in the same system, making sure that all the taxes, VATs were done, and all the other reporting. And the governments are using APIs more and more, so then it's not anything that transfer anything else but digitally. So then turning back that back to Austria, it's more or less that there's like tools for the invoicing. Then it's like kind of sent digitally by email or something else. Then it needs to be handled by the accounting office, like type in the accounting system. Then the person gets the invoice and needs to deal with that with the banking software, of course. But then somebody needs to, like in the accounting office or tax advisor, type that into the accounting. And then the reporting comes maybe, I don't know, 1 month later.
Mm. Which is not even the worst case that you described, because last time we have a client that we send a bill per email and we got information, please, we cannot accept it, you have to send it per post to us.
For instance, there are situations where you need to receive a copy, or you will need to receive a copy printed as well. Also, there are situations where you have to ask customer if they want. So receiving the invoice digital is allowed, but you need to ask customer to opt in into this mode, which of course makes that you put this on the customer. Customer don't have any incentive not getting the company sending the bill, digitally. And so they say, yeah, keep going, sending me tons and tons of paper. We have the same issue on receipt. How many receipts are we printing? How many receipts are supermarket and retail on the street printing every single day, right? Why we have instant payment available everywhere, so potentially we could establish a much faster way to pay and receive together with the payment, receive the receipt directly in the payment. So all these things makes total sense. We can debate here if we are too slow or not, but they make total sense. And I think eventually we will get there. It's just that we need to figure out what are the triggers that move the industry a bit faster.
And what are they? Let's have a look.
Well, in my opinion, it's definitely, it would be unfair to put the burdens on the consumer.
Mm.
Because the consumer, it's not their job to decide, right? To decide in a sense of to push the industry. It's the job of the industry to offer a much more efficient way and making sure that the customers and consumer can benefit out of it. So I think it's an industry discussion. So it's business to business. It's business to regulator. It's business to public officials. That's what this needs to come in place.
But if I understand you correctly, as you did mention that, it's not an infrastructure discussion because the digitalization would be able to solve this.
No, but for instance, it's an API discussion. You need to define some standards? Someone needs to sit down and say, this is the standard we want to use to share that specific information. And everyone needs to adapt. Yeah, it will cost some money, but there will be large benefit out of it. So It's a combination between making some clear looking ahead decision versus being able to implement those decisions. And very often those decisions imply some technical advancement. So API publishing or some API, managing those API and so on. So it's a combination of decisiveness on the leadership.
Yeah.
To say we go this way, and on the other side, put this in the agenda, get it done, and then executing it, right? Which is important. Look, I've one thing I'm always trying to mention in public situation is, look, from a regulatory point of view, and in general from the business point of view, more and more regulation will be almost IT projects.
Mm.
All the regulation we see in banking, in accounting, they somehow have and will have in the future more IT impact than they have in the past. And so it is very important that whoever writes those regulations are either properly supported or they are included within a team that is able to understand technology very well. Very often on every kind of regulation, European regulation, local regulation, there are some API aspect related to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's very important that the people write this, who write those regulations and makes those proposals, they have this very, very clear in mind.
But regardless of the regulatory frameworks, which are definitely necessary, as you mentioned, how can we incentivize or make companies aware of the benefits?
I give you a simple example. I'm totally convinced that if all the invoices any business will send out tomorrow will contain a QR code for the payment.
Yeah.
And it's simple. It's a QR code. It's something very, very simple. All customers who will scan those QR code will pay in time with the exact amount. The amount of mistake will happen will reduce. It's a no-brainer, right? And I would even go further. I believe that if you would potentially receive your invoices, I mean, a normal family pay maybe, let's say, 10 invoices a month, let's put it that way. If all those payments will be digitally delivered to those people, and those people will be able to accept the payment and pay rather than receiving a mail, leaving a mail in on the table, forget about it, figuring out too late that they have to pay something, then get the, in Austria it's called manum, get the reminder to pay with a little additional fee and then complain because you don't want to pay the extra fee. And this is leading out to call service, to call center service you need to put on top, debates, should I pay this extra fee or not, is written. That's all unnecessary complexity. Everywhere where we saw invoices delivered digitally, directly on the smartphone of the customer, we see much faster reaction time from consumer. We see almost no mistakes. And we see almost no discussion, much. There is no discussion, right? There are no debate on claiming if there is something wrong or right. Now, let me put a disclaimer here. I know very well there is a certain part of the population who don't have a smartphone. Mm. And I know very well that there is even a small part of population who have a smartphone, but they don't want to do anything related to financial matters on their smartphone. Mm-hmm. I totally accept and respect these people, but I would like to remind all of us that this is minority, and the more time will pass, the more this gets a little minority. Our generation, I would say, and I'm not very young, our generation are totally digital. We manage our life digitally. I have a debate once with a colleague who said, yeah, but most people don't manage don't know how to manage relationship digitally. And my question was, I'm not quite sure. I have a strong feeling that they manage the relationship with their loved one and their friends and family via WhatsApp.
Yeah.
So if they can do this, if it's convenient enough and proper enough, I think they can also handle a relationship with companies and businesses and retail.
Mm, great point. In terms of older population or people who don't want to use smartphone for these transactions, I mean, obviously, you have probably the same target groups also in the Nordics, but you still solved the problem. How did you go? How did you tackle this?
Of course, in every business or every change, there are these like early adopters who start with this, and then it gets to the other businesses as well, and other people that start using. It's not something that over one night everybody starts uses it, and I think that's something that happened in Nordics as well, and. And then, there was really good points from Mauri about the regulation, and I think that the government role should be that they really enable, and they strengthen these digitalized things that regarding the e-invoices or regarding VAT reporting with the APIs. Not so that they start to build something by themselves, but they enable their role in that. But I think it's just that a lot can be done if there's like a just goal in getting in the market of Austria in the digital index, how many people do the e-invoicing, how many people use the QR code that Mauri was telling about.
Let's stick to this QR code. Yeah. Could that be a very concrete advice to the businesses? Include QR code into your invoices.
I will make this mandatory tomorrow.
Okay.
It's super. It's great. I mean, how many invoices you guys receive at home printed on a piece of paper?
I related.
And if there is a QR code, it's a second to make that payment. It's awesome.
I related to what you said 1,000,000,000%. For example, my wife picks up an envelope from the post box, leaves it somewhere. I don't see it. I can assure you that if I have it physically without the QR code, I will not pay for it until the second or third Mahnung. Not because I do that purposely. It just happens somehow.
Of course.
And it's interesting for me to understand that's really, really good point that translates into business life as well. Obviously, you have a different infrastructure in a company, but still, if you would have it as seamless as you say.
Well, in some country where we operate, in particular in Croatia, but also in Czech Republic, we have infrastructure that allows company and merchant to send invoice to the customer, to the consumer, directly into the banking app. Mm-hmm. So in Croatia, for instance, we have an app called Kexpay for peer-to-peer transfer. And there we had some collaboration with some municipality where the municipality taxes, the trash tax and there are a few taxes you pay with your municipality, they get delivered directly in your phone. So you basically get a notification on the phone, there is this tax to be paid, you click on it, remind me later, or you pay right away. And we know that the number shows that everyone pays in time. In some country, actually, you even get a discount if you pay right away. Which is also an incentive, right? It incentivizes people to pay immediately when you receive the invoices and not on the last minute, like you mentioned before. In Czech Republic, we have similar system. There are some large commodity, energy and water and telco. They're able through industry APIs to send invoice directly on the phone of the consumer. Which I think is very consistent, is totally traceable, is disputable because customer can, with one click, challenge that invoice and say, well, that's too much or too less. But it guarantees a much faster payment from a consumer. So it's overall much more efficient. So I think there are good examples around. At the moment, it's very fragmented, and I find this a gigantic missed opportunity.
Yes, I think in B2C, I think it's that type of solution would work, and a lot more easier for the consumers, a lot easier to pay. Then when going to B2B, then there's a little bit limited amount of information how to transfer that to doing the accounting automatically. So then that. Perhaps it's not the right tool for that. So then it's more like a standardized, more data on the e-invoicing type of system. But for the consumers, definitely something like that to make it just an issue.
Do you have some advice in terms of the process or your software? What could the businesses use, the smaller businesses use, in order to digitalize their accounting process, the invoicing process, to get faster? Why to get faster? To get the real-time data much faster and to reduce the administration, to increase the efficiency, which is horrible to have to employ people who are just typing something into the computer where everything is somewhere digital.
Yeah, of course, one simple answer is to use ProSaldo. Start with that and do the invoicing for your own business in the same system that you are having the accounting part, getting the payments in the system and then having the purchases in the same system. So then, and then it's not a big thing to automate many of the pre-accounting things that needs to be done. I think it's just not to use separate systems in different parts of process that every small business is doing, that is quite a big productive increase day one.
Where are the valid use cases for the businesses when digitalizing their let's say, processes in accounting and invoicing. Maurizio, we're talking about AI a lot these days, and obviously also in our talk. But if we have manual work at the beginning, we seem to be quite far from AI functions, because AI only works when digital processes are in place.
Correct. Look, still, let's put this in perspective. Still today, we are in a process that lots of companies are having their relationship with their tax accountant on tax office, which is not in the company, it's outsourced, especially the small one, they're outsourcing that business, very much analog. Mm-hmm. File sharing, in the best case, shoeboxes, in the worst case, or mappe, all those binders with lots of paper in there, properly structured and organized by the person in the office who is responsible for taking care about those bills properly, and then once a month send it over, right? I hope this is fading away, but we are sharing files at the end of the day, right? So we are still on that level, right? Of course, we predict that in the next years, most of this relationship between company and tax accountant will be digitalized. Huh? Mm. This means that already the data is already digital at the source. And now the big debate afterwards is, when the data is digital at the source, should I send it to an office with human being that types or that look into that, or would I have artificial intelligence taking care? I mean, it's a no-brainer. This is a very good artificial intelligence use case. Of course, the artificial intelligence is more accurate. The more accurate is the digitalization at the source, right? Yeah. So the source is very important. If the digitalization at the source is perfect, then you don't need a very sophisticated AI to do the work. Of course, the more clumsy is the digitalization of the source, the more sophisticated AI. But we saw incredible things the last 1 year, so I'm expecting that even if the source digitalization is not great, AI will solve many of the problems. So I'm a big believer. If I would be in their business, I would definitely, and I'm sure they do, I would definitely invest in this. It's very promising. Very promising.
Do you invest in the AI use cases, and which are these use cases going to be? Is there a competitive advantage for a company who uses this technology and digitalizes their processes in the future?
Well, of course, we are like doing a lot of things, a lot of AI initiatives. One part is, of course, like how we are able to just serve our customers in a better way. How we are able to just automate even more the process that we do. And now we are able to generate even like a better reporting to the customers, because there's the data, and AI is really excellent in providing exactly the answer on the questions that the business owner would have. But then we do a lot in customer service. Like there's like a huge things that what we can do in serving the clients faster, more accurate. We do a lot of initiatives in marketing, of course, how to generate content, how to personalize the message even better. And then I think that one of the big things is that how the AI can be the co-pilot in the development. Yeah. So that's a big thing as well.
And we saw, for example, in the industry, the predictive functions of AI when it comes to machines and optimizations. Will these predictions also take place in the financial industry? Will AI be able to be kind of a CFO of a company in the future?
I totally agree that it can, but it takes time. And then there's always that who asks the right questions and how to. Because of course it's always like a competitive situation, that if everybody is using the same information, then there's a good room for the intelligent people as well to just make the right questions and right calls. And then it's also a matter of responsibility, that even though that there's AI, somebody is responsible of the AI or the results of the AI.
Maurizio, what's your take on that?
My take on that is that prediction will eventually come. We will see prediction situation and scenarios, especially in a large company, because prediction requires lots of data, right? Mm. The more data you have, the more accurate you are. So I would expect to see in large multinational, multi-billion dollar company, right? What I would just recommend everyone is let's not start with the most sophisticated part. Let's start to fix the basic. And I think there is plenty of things we can do on the basic. Prediction will eventually come. Will that eliminate people who look into the situation of a company being able to readjust some posts left and right? I don't think so. I think there is a certain skills. There is a certain, you know, the feeling of a business and the fact that you are adjusting your accounting according to the way the business, this will stay. This will be, that's why there is good management, right? That's why you have a CFO, and I don't think CFO will be transformed into a prompt in ChatGPT, right? That's not the future I can imagine. It will be a great tool. I don't think it will replace, it will not replace good people, definitely.
But it will help to gain efficiency also for smaller businesses.
Well, it will gain efficiency. It will try to eliminate, in my opinion, the redundant work, the very repetitive, low-value work we're doing today, and there is plenty of those situations. Very repetitive, very low-value, very much manual, but without really adding anything to the business, right? Mm. So this will be slowly eliminated.
And this is what you saw in the Nordics as well, that this efficiency raised by using tools such as yours and digitalizing processes.
Yes, of course. And it's that was a really good point about value of the work. That the good example is in the tax advisors or accounting offices, that where is the hours spent on the manual work with the errors, actually. Or is it spent on really guiding the small business or enterprise or any type of customer?
Do strategy planning.
Yeah, how to do the taxes, how to go forward, how to spend the investments, that is way more valuable for the customers as well.
So strategic account planning is the most important thing one of the most important things for a small company, right? Many small company, I'm talking about the SME and the low SME, when they have trouble, they have liquidity trouble.
Yes.
And normally liquidity trouble are related to wrong strategic planning on their receivable, on their accountable. There is required of people who actually smell the market, understand which client will pay, which client don't pay. The proper digital data at the source will not tell you that customer will not pay, right? It may tell you some APIs may tell you that industry where that customer is in are currently in trouble, and therefore there is a certain percentage of likelihood that they will not pay. But still, you need to have a manager, a CFO, or whoever is responsible for this part of the business to be able to make his own judgment. So I don't think this will completely disappear. I think actually this will become even more important. The more data we will be able to provide in real time to these people, the more they will do a good job. And I think strategic accounting is extremely important. It will stay relevant.
And that will increase the quality of decisions that we make.
Exactly. Exactly.
And actually, we in Visma have already in Denmark, we have a product that when you are sending the invoice, you are able to see that how the other market players or companies are adjusting the company that is receiving the invoice. If they are not paying in time, it's real-time information for the one sending that. Okay, they are not paying their invoices in time that they should,
and that's connected with the bank account. Or?
That's connected because we have 50% of the market. So when we collect this information that who is paying in time or not, we are able to be real time in that information. Of course, when you have these collecting companies, they come 1 month, 2 months, 3 months later with the information that okay. they have problems with paying, but actually it's when you have the information, you're able to tell that who pay in time or not.
Did you want to add something to?
No, I found this very interesting. I was thinking about that. In that case, they can do this by the fact that they have 50% of the market. Yeah. But you know, we could also do something similar if you find a way, because somehow we also see almost in some country almost half of the business to business payment in the country. So actually, if there would be some intelligence put there, I think we could get closer to what they have done. I think it's very efficient.
Yeah.
I mean, that's real added value. That's real added value. Knowing that partner is currently struggling to pay the bills. Because if you ask them, probably they will not tell you, right?
Yeah.
Why should they? So knowing that this is in trouble, maybe it puts you... First, you plan your risk properly, number one. And second, maybe you talk to them, you give them a chance to handle it, right? It's not necessarily putting the partner into a bad situation.
I think this was a very important term that you just used, risk management.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in times of economic downturn as we have it now, or let's say different challenges that we have to tackle, more important than ever probably to have a good, realistic view on your situation, to manage the risks. Maybe as a last topic, Maurizio, you already touched it a little bit just now. How do we bring these products into market? Do you do it alone as Erste Group, or do you do it together with partners? Do you collaborate on these things and include good technology into your platform? How do you go about it strategically?
Okay. So strategically, we have a very straightforward strategy. We are a bank, and we want to be the banking partner for all our retail, for our business customer. We have customer from micro, small SME, SME, large SME, and large corporates. We also have institution and public sector.
Yeah.
So we cover the whole segment. We are very clear in our strategy what we are good in and what we want to be the best around. And this is about payment. This is about managing. Of course, it's the whole area around lending, all the product around lending, and there are many, all the problem about capital markets, and we have many. And there are some areas where we have not been the leader in the past, and we don't have any intention to build that business line. We want to have the best partner around. Now, of course, the difference between retail business and corporate business is that in corporate business, our clients, the companies, are already using many partners. Mm-hmm. And those companies, they already have workflows in place and processes in place. So the strategy for the corporate business is to have as many integration as possible. It's a quantity game. Our job is not to go to a business and say, you're using solution B. Now, we don't like solution B. You should switch to solution A. That's very naive and it's very arrogant. We don't have the information and we don't really know why they're using solution B, and probably it's a very good solution. And lucky is that we are not in the market where one player dominates the market. So we do an integration with one player and we are done. So we need to be very flexible as a bank to select the partner and to select many partners. We need to be able to handle many partners because our customers are using many partners. Mm. And our job is being focused on the customer and give them all the tool they need to integrate whatever workflow, whatever third-party system they're using directly with banking in the most secure and reliable way. This is how we see that business.
Will this also have implications or the execution, let's call it that way, for example, in George Business that is being rolled out?
Of course. At the moment, we are rolling out George Business, so we are building the core functionality, our part, and we want to make it great. And as soon as this is done and we free up a bit of resources, we will start opening up interfaces with third party.
Fantastic.
We don't believe we're going to do everything. I don't think this is going to be the solution. I think company will need different partners to manage different parts of the business. And in terms of accounting, our vision is very clear. We want to make it very easy for our customer to integrate with existing accounting software.
I remember then, or I think it's still the case, for the retail market, you used to call, or you called your vision of the bank of being an institution for financial health.
Yeah.
And I think this translates, as you're describing, for B2B as well, to help them be financially healthy.
Absolutely. We want to provide tools, also via partner in this case, that makes the business understandable. And as let me put it this way, I think not only we make the business understandable, but we need to make the business of our customer, the financial situation of our customer, actionable. Yeah. They need to be able to, the most important thing for businesses to be able to be actionable, having displayed the situation, no need to synchronize, no need to import, export as smooth as possible in order to be quickly actionable.
Yeah, fantastic.
Because speed makes a difference.
Yossi, do you see financial institutions as your partners when entering a specific market? How do you strategically go about it?
Yes, I think Mauri put it very well. And like, let's say that in the Nordics, our accounting systems, they have 200, 300 different integrations or exactly like that, like with the APIs, because that is the source for automation. That is what we want to deliver to our customers. It's the high automation rate. And then they have other business needs. They have the working capital needs. Then we collaborate with the banks, because we are not in that business. We are in the software business. So when you are in the need of having a working capital, and when you have all the accounting information that can be also automated quite well, so that banks are able to do the decision on the that okay, they have a need and they are able to, with these conditions to have the money a lot faster than maybe when
yes.
it's like a typical normal
yes.
process. But there's I think that the market should have a lot of options, as Mauri said, and then they are the best of the breeds in if it's e-commerce or you are providing professional services. There's so many verticals and so many great products.
It's
so
very good point, because my impression is sometimes that companies, smaller companies, for example, in Austria, are afraid of being too transparent. I don't know what kind of fears are underlying here, but I think the benefits of being integrated are huge. If you want, like you said, if you want a loan, if you want any other product, it's everything there.
Yes, and it also comes with the security. It's sometimes mind-blowing that some of the customers say that the security is better if it's in a server in one closet working and it's on-premise setup, and then you digital processes with that you know who is on the other side, as in the Nordics, it's a lot more secure. And using the public cloud is a lot more secure. I guarantee it's a lot more secure than using these old systems.
An entrepreneur friend of mine just recently, half a year ago, the company exists since 25 years, successful, profitable. They had server on premise. Somebody stole it. They almost had to close down. They were hardly able to save,
yes.
Out of this situation.
Yes.
What's the outlook, the big picture, and also wrap up of our discussion in terms of, okay, we agree that regulation, the government, the politics has to do something and make bold decisions in terms of digitalization. But what can companies, especially smaller companies, do? For example, I definitely take immediately with me the QR code on the bill for Austria, which would be a step forward.
Everywhere. We have QR code standard in every country in Central Eastern Europe. So I think this should... Actually, ask me,
yes.
This should be a European standard. But I have a list of European things they should do rather than focusing on things which are... I'm not sure they would make a lot of sense. We will do another podcast about those. But there are plenty of things they should do. Unfortunately, Europe is... Yeah, they have good ideas, but then the national state need to agree and need to enforce them and so on. And that's where the things get fragmented around, right? Unfortunately. But the QR code, in my opinion, could be European. We have QR code standard in every country.
And regardless of the regulation, Maurizio, we can still say that there's absolutely no need or reason for a smaller or a bigger company to manage their bills in a shoeboxes. Do you agree on that?
I agree. And that's maybe you ask what we should way forward. I think companies should really see digital as an opportunity to efficiently run their business. I think we'll get to a point that it's a matter of competitiveness. If you're not managing your business in a digital way, or big part of your business in a digital way, you will not be competitive. There are initiatives, for instance, in some country where you have to apply digitally if you want to participate in a state tender.
Good point.
Initiatives like this are very important, but unfortunately just covers more part of the market than one that have business with the state, right? The other are not. So initiatives like this are important. They move things forward. We should just look, no one likes change, right? And this requires change, changing processes, changing people, convincing your team to work in a slightly different way. Eventually, I think it will become a competitive factor.
Yes.
And therefore, company will be forced to go there. And the one who will not manage, they will probably not survive, or they will struggle.
And the sooner you begin with it, the better it is.
I'm looking forward for this. Now, you know that the European community has issued Mario Draghi for the former prime minister, but the former ECB president. Governator, to issue a paper about competitiveness in Europe. I think it will be ready in spring next year. I think digital will be digital and European standard will be a huge part of that paper. So I'm looking forward to see what will be written.
Very good point. Jussi, what's your advice for us in Austria to move faster?
I would just like use my time here to market ProSaldo. Just like as if you are a small entrepreneur, start with ProSaldo. Start like using the invoicing and paying the invoices like a smart accounting product, and then ask your tax advisor after or say that you are not willing to pay for the manual work. You expect better. You expect more advice on the business, not the manual work.
Fantastic. And then eventually this will give you the opportunity to use AI as well in your processes. But as long as the work is manual, you have no chance to really benefit from it. Thank you guys for these very, very, very good insights. And I hope that our audience can have some takeaways from them to do some steps and to really realize the benefits of moving forward in terms of digitalization of accounting. They have the best partners in Austria with Erste Group. You will integrate all these services into George Business, integrate the best European partners such as Visma in your product, and we just need to do it. And the regulator obviously also has to, but we don't have to wait for that. We're entrepreneurs, and that's why we should take, so to say, the destiny in our hands and execute. Thank you for being with us, dear audience, in our series Unternehmen wir Zukunft. Stay tuned. We're coming back to you with further relevant topics. Thanks to our guests.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Thank you.